I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
In this breaking news story about TD Bank, right here in our area, laundering money to drug dealers. What the hell? TD Bank to pay $3 billion and face growth cap over money laundering violations. Unbelievable. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Scioli. This story just broke a short time ago. There's a bunch of these branches all around us. It's based actually out of Toronto, based in Canada. You're going to pay billions in dollars in criminal fines and penalties to several federal agencies, including the Federal Reserve and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, violating federal anti-money laundering and bank transparency laws. Wow. They allegedly failed to adequately oversee its retail banking operations, which allowed a subsidiary to be used to launder hundreds of millions of dollars through a drug trafficking ring. The bank allegedly failed to monitor $18.3 trillion in customer activity over a six-year period, allowing three money laundering networks to move millions of dollars through its accounts. And Merrick Garland said in a press conference today, TD Bank created an environment that allowed financial crimes to flourish by making its services convenient for criminals. It became one. But you better make sure that you report that $600 you made on Etsy, or the government will come after you, all right? Big company like this, big bank like this, they got to pay a little fine. You know, pull out the checkbook and pay a little fine. It's all good. Don't worry about a thing, all right? You do something like this, you go to prison. But them, it's all right. It's okay. Don't worry about it. But also prosecuting two dozen individuals for their involvement in money laundering schemes that move more than $670 million in illegal funds through TD Bank accounts. In the old days, you should just get a toaster if you open up a bank account. That was a really long time ago, though. Now they give you maybe like a pen. I don't think they give you a pen anymore. I don't even think they give you deposit slips anymore, actually. Two TD employees were charged. Our laws dictate that the narcotics traffickers who flood our communities with deadly drugs cannot use American financial institutions to move their money. And our anti-money laundering laws dictate that a bank that willfully fails to protect against criminal schemes is also a criminal. This is what TD Bank was, said the attorney general. In a statement, TD Bank Group President and CEO Bharat Masrani said, quote, "We have taken full responsibility for the failures of our U.S. AML program and are making the investments, changes, and enhancements required to deliver on our commitments. This is a difficult chapter in our bank's history. These failures took place on my watch as CEO, and I apologize to all our stakeholders." Well, if you apologize to the stakeholders, I guess it's all good. And I guess you get to keep your job. It's kind of like running a company into the ground with bankruptcy and getting to keep your job. But this is a little bit different because it involves money laundering and drug dealers. But wow. I want to thank our colleagues who continue to demonstrate their dedication and who play an important role in preventing criminal activity. One scheme involved more than $470 million through TD Bank branches in the U.S., and they bribed TD Bank employees with more than $57,000 in gift cards. In another scheme, five TD employees worked with criminal organizations to open accounts that were used to launder $39 million to Colombia, including drug proceeds. You know, the problem is here, they didn't use the bank from The Dark Knight. You know, the bank that the Joker robs in the opening of The Dark Knight? It's a mob bank. They just used a mob bank, you know, then it would have been fine. But they used a mainstream bank. Now, you know what would really make me mad? I'm not a TD Bank customer, but if I was and I ever got an overdraft fee or if I ever got a late charge of any kind, I'd be asking for a refund today. You know what I mean? I'd be saying that. I would turn around and go, so remember that time you gave me a $20 overdraft fee because I bounced a check or whatever, didn't have the funds in my account to cover a bill? You ever do that? You set for the auto pay and you forget, and then all of a sudden now you realize you're like $200 short or something. It's payday's the next day and you made a mistake or something. And I got the $20 ding. Well, considering that it's very likely that, my 20 bucks went to fund drug dealers, can I have that back, please? Is there a form I can submit? May not be happy about that. Or if I got a late charge, like 35 bucks now they hit you with, I think, for a late charge. Like this is why I don't use the paper statements, because I get those stupid emails, I forget, and then I forget to pay on time, and I get whacked with a $25 or $35 late fee, and then if it turns around that's going for drug dealers, I'm upset. So I want my late fee back, refunded. And if you're a good customer, usually they do that for you. And if your bank is laundering money for Colombian drug dealers, I would think they would do that for you as well. I would think. In one scheme, five TD employees, I said that scheme. Despite significant internal red flags, the bank did not identify that its own employees were conspiring to launder tens of millions of dollars to Colombia until law enforcement arrested them. Some 92% of TD Bank's transactions went unmonitored between January of 2018 and April of 2024. I'm sorry, this is hilarious. This is hysterical to me. I know it's bad. I know it's bad, and obviously it's not a good thing. I'm not happy about it. I just think this is the kind of thing that if I went to a movie studio and I said, I got a great story for you. A huge retail bank was funneling all this money to money laundering to drug dealers, and their employees were in on it. Like, stop. Come on. You can't do that in this day and age. Stop. The bank is the largest in U.S. history to plead guilty to charges under the Bank Secrecy Act and the first to plead guilty to conspiracy to commit money laundering. The penalty levied against them is the largest ever under the Bank Secrecy Act. Let me show you, if you're watching on YouTube right now, because we're streaming on YouTube at 1210 WPHT, and we're very excited because today we're going to play some clips on our YouTube stream for you. So you're not just going to hear them, you're going to see them. So you should go to youtube.com, 1210 WPHT. Yesterday we did our first long-form interview. It was with Dr. Marty Makary, and it was great, like 30 minutes, awesome stuff. You haven't seen that, go watch it. We're trying to do new things, engaging things. I can't help the face. The face is a face for radio, not for TV, obviously. But we'll do our best, all right? And if you're wondering, this is a club soda. There's no vodka in it. It's just a club soda. I'm sitting here, I'm in a great mood today. The sun's shining. It's beautiful out. And this story is hilarious to me. And they get this is the penalty. Ready? Slap. I just did a slap on my wrist if you're listening on the radio or on the Odyssey app or on the podcast. And thank you either way. Slap on the wrist. They got to pay. That's what happens. The government goes after you if you're a big corporation, and they write a check. They go, here you go. Here you go. They're good. But they don't go out of business or anything like that. No, of course not. Now, if you're late with your taxes, or if you don't pay your taxes, that's a whole different story, all right? $3 billion seems like a lot, but to big banks like TD Bank, it's just the cost of doing business, said America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, on X. You know what this does prove, though? That all her nonsense about regulating banks and making sure that the American consumers have 87,000 new IRS agents to harass them. If people want to break the law, people are going to break the law. And more government monitors doesn't prevent that, because people just go around the government monitors. You know, they just go around that. Because if they're going to be criminals, criminals are going to criminal. That's what they do. The settlement lets the bank executives off the hook for allowing TD to be used as a criminal slush fund. Well, obviously, duh. The executives never get in trouble. Never. Wow. Amazing stuff. So, yeah, you know, like I said, if you are in a cash business, like let's say you babysit or you sell things and you deposit $600 in cash, remember the government will be monitoring you and your transactions. If you're a multinational bank and you're laundering money for drug dealers, not so much. But if you get caught, you better pay up. All right? You still stay in your jobs and everything like that, and it's all good. But You know, does the bank hand out lollipops and are those lollipops laced with cocaine? That's what I want to know. I'm just, again, I'm asking for a friend because my kids like the lollipops. I'm not a TD Bank customer, but if I was and I got lollipops for my kids, I would wonder those things. These are the things I would ask. Like a kind teller, you know, like, hey, just curious, are these the ones from the Colombian drug dealers or no? Because I want to, obviously, if they are, I'm going to definitely give them to my kids. So, all right, we got other stuff to talk about today, but that, wow, that story is just amazing. What's also amazing is Joe Biden is using misinformation and disinformation to try to clamp down on freedom of speech. So is Alejandro Mayorkas, and it's shameful. And good for Governor Ron DeSantis for pushing back on Kamala Harris, who, of course, is engaging in a political fight with the Florida governor as he's trying to deal with a devastating, catastrophic storm. But let me tell you what Biden and Mayorkas and the others are doing. They're doing the classic thing the left does, which is never let a crisis go to waste. So they're pointing out that some people on social media are putting out what they describe as disinformation or misinformation. And then they're saying people are dying because of it. Now, there's no way to prove that. They have no way to prove that. And there's no way that you could actually say that because somebody tweeted something and five people saw it that led to somebody dying in a hurricane. But that's not the point. The point is, let's use somebody tweeting about that or weather manipulation or somebody suggesting that maybe some volunteers who had supplies were turned away. And then let's use that to go after the First Amendment so that whenever there's a national emergency, we can say we have the right to go in there and shut down misinformation and disinformation. Or whenever, and there's always an emergency in this country. So that's ultimately what their goal always is, of course, which is to control information. And the idea that people are dying, and as Biden said, people are getting the death penalty because of disinformation. That's what Biden said. People are getting the death penalty because of disinformation. I kid you not. Now, I don't know exactly how you can have a legitimate, logical conversation where you try to refute that, because they're not basing that in any evidence. Like, in other words, there isn't evidence to point to of somebody who died because they saw a certain tweet and then they didn't take appropriate action with regards to the hurricane, or somebody who didn't get the aid relief that they were entitled to because of a tweet. But it doesn't matter, because it's not about proving something. It's about scaring people into compliance so that the government can do what it always wants to do, which is to control information. Mayorkas even said today that government hardworking rescue people and FEMA people are dealing with hate speech. Hate speech online. See where we're going with this? So then in times of national emergency, you know, shut down X, shut down whatever you got to do. X is really the only one that allows true freedom of speech these days. So some wackos posting some tweet they don't like, well, you just shut it down. That's all. Shut it down. And then you can go after people, too. And don't worry about that pesky First Amendment, because the First Amendment's only there for the good days, not the bad days. That's how the government thinks. That's how Biden, that's how the Democrats, how the left thinks, I'm telling you. And they want to control what is information, what is disinformation. They want to control these things and tell you what it is. And then they define what is hate speech. They define these things. Tim Walz is a guy who said this before. He said this multiple times. This is what the battle is really coming down to. It really cannot be more crystal clear than that. Democrats want to clamp down on speech. They even had Mary Bruce today from ABC News ask Alejandro Mayorkas, I kid you not, if Russia was spreading disinformation regarding the hurricane efforts. Russia. They're obsessed. They're obsessed with this. So in the middle of all of this, in the middle of people dealing with the havoc of Helene and Milton, both the Secretary of Homeland Security and the President of the United States took time today to scold people for saying things online they don't like. Really. And then suggesting that those things that were said online have led to people getting the death penalty by nature, I guess. Yeah, this is what we're dealing with in the United States of America right now. This is what we're dealing with. Let me play a quick clip for you, if I could. Here's ABC's Mary Bruce to Mayorkas. This is, you can't make this up. Asking the Secretary of Homeland Security if Russia is involved in the disinformation here, which, of course, now by asking the question helps solidify the point the government's making about all the disinformation that's out there right now. even though this disinformation, there's no proof that it's actually impacting anyone in any way, shape, or form, or leading to anyone dying. But again, that's not the point. Take a listen.
Do you have any information to suggest that any foreign governments have tried to take advantage and amplify this misinformation about the response and recovery effort?
I have not been alerted to that phenomenon. We, of course, have seen foreign nations disseminate false information for other purposes. I have not seen it in the context of Hurricane Helene or the Hurricane Milton, which just transpired. But, of course, we are quite vigilant in monitoring that.
We're quite vigilant in monitoring Russian disinformation with regards to the hurricane effort. And as usual, as I tell you, there's no evidence of any of this nonsense. It doesn't have to be. All you have to do is just turn around and say people are dying. And then that gives the government the authority that they think they need to be able to turn around and go after people. It's unbelievable. Hate speech, disinformation, misinformation. It's about control is what it is. We are streaming live on YouTube, by the way, and we're very, very excited about it. So thank you. And tomorrow we're going to be live in Cape May. We'll be streaming the show live from the Grand Hotel of Cape May. But trust me, you want to be there in person with us. It's a lot more fun to be in person. All right. It's a lot more fun to be there in person. If you've never been to a live show, it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow in Cape May. Come out and join us for it. We'd love to see you. And if you've been to multiple shows, we're going to start counting and giving out, I don't know, at some point we'll do something nice. Maybe I'll give you some cocaine lollipops from TD Bank if we can find some. Matt, do we have the clip of Biden talking about the death penalty by chance, about how misinformation is causing Americans to die?
Yes.
If we do.
If you'd like to hear it.
Yes, please. Let's take a listen to the president using the ultimate scare tactics here for their big picture plan, of course, of cracking down on freedom of speech.
Additionally, Vice President Harris and I said yesterday, and we'll say it again, to anyone who seeks to take advantage of our fellow Americans' desperation, whether you're a company engaging in price gouging or a citizen trying to scam your neighbors, we will go after you and we will hold you accountable. Now, not only that, our fellow Americans are putting their lives on the line to do this dangerous work and receive death penalties. Some received death penalties yesterday as a result of reckless, irresponsible, relentless disinformation and outright lies that continue to flow.
Stop it. The death penalty. The death penalty. They received the death penalty yesterday as a result of these outright lies and disinformation. Prove it. Prove to me that anyone died because of some dumb tweet. Or, honestly, give me an example. Nope, they don't have to. They don't have to. So people who died in the hurricane, and DeSantis is talking right now, Governor DeSantis, and he's saying at least 340 people were rescued. But if somebody died, they died because of somebody's tweet, somebody's disinformation tweet. And you don't have to prove anything. There's no correlation. And even if you found one person who saw a tweet that said, don't believe the storm's really coming, it's just the government trying to scare you, and that person believed that and died, what do you do about that exactly? I don't really know. What do you do? Well, I know what the government would like to do. Use that as their excuse to be able to say in times of emergency, we're going to shut down platforms we don't like. If platforms allow that kind of speech that could lead to somebody believing, I guess, the storm wasn't real or something. I don't know. Again, I'm trying to use logic here to come up with hypothetical examples, and I can't. I can't even give you a logical hypothetical example on how this. I just know that that's what the ultimate goal is. And everything's an emergency these days, so speech they don't like. They've been trying to do this for years under this administration. Remember they had the failed musical theater actress Nina Jankowicz? She was going to be the disinformation czar, remember? Well, she also sang Mary Poppins songs. Mary Poppins tunes about Donald Trump. Yes, she was going to be the disinformation czar and go out there and police what information was real and what wasn't. Now, remember, if you put out a letter saying that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation, even though that was purposeful disinformation by people in government, that was not considered disinformation. The real story was, but the people in charge get to decide. So it's a great example of that for you. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike is the man who'll give you the smile you deserve. We got a big show for you today. We got great guests coming up on the show. And I'm very, very excited about the fact our buddy Tim Murtaugh is going to join us in just a few minutes, because he's a fellow Philadelphian, and he's just as sad as I am about the Eagles. So we're going to talk to him, and we're streaming live on YouTube, as I mentioned. So, yeah, who on earth was even saying the hurricane wasn't real? I don't know. Again, I'm trying to find a hypothetical example to give that would lead somebody to die, and I can't even come up with one. That's the thing. I can't even come up with one. This is all because people are upset that Trump and others exposed the fact that FEMA gave away, and I went to the website, I read you from FEMA's own website, that they gave away over $1 billion to illegal immigrants. And because people were criticizing the response to Helene. Biden didn't send in the National Guard for 5 days. The governor of North Carolina, who's a Democrat, is incompetent, and it was a disaster. And Harris inserted herself in this, but if you criticize that response, now they label that disinformation. So if you're critical of the government, that's disinformation. They came out and said everybody will get $750, but you have to apply for it. Well, now apparently if you criticize that, that's disinformation. If you say that it's wrong that Americans only get $750, but we're sending, you know, $150 billion to Lebanon and $200 billion to Ukraine, that's disinformation, and people will die. Your fellow Americans will get the death penalty. It's very hard for logical people like us to be able to try to use logic to come up with hypothetical examples that would lead to somebody dying because of a tweet. But again, if you're the government, you don't have to prove it. You don't have to actually prove anything. You just have to go out there and say it and then get the corporate media and big tech to go along with it. Well, in the name of public safety, we have to censor. In the name of keeping people alive, in the name of keeping people safe, we have to censor. See? That's the game. That's the game. And the game is rigged. But for now, we're free on X at Rich Zeoli and YouTube.com/1210WPHD. Let's talk about the Trump campaign, where we go from here, with my buddy Tim Murtaugh. Straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210. We will be live tomorrow at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We are streaming live on YouTube right now, 1210 WPHD. And I'm very, very happy to welcome back a guy who's as bummed as we all are today, Tim Murtaugh. He's a Philly guy. He's a senior advisor to President Donald Trump, and he's a depressed Philadelphia Phillies fan. Hello, my friend. How are you?
How you doing, Rich? I got to be honest with you. I'm also a Pittsburgh Pirates fan because my grandfather, Danny Murtaugh, was the manager. But he did.
Oh.
He broke in with the Phillies. He was a rookie with the Phillies in 1941. Led the National League in stolen bases back then, as a matter of fact, in his rookie year.
No kidding. That's amazing.
Yeah. Danny Murtaugh, yeah, I played second base in the big leagues. And then later was known better as the manager of the Pirates. But he broke in with the Phillies.
That is super, super cool. Is there something at Citizens Bank Park that, like a little piece of your grandpa's history?
No, he didn't play at Citizens Bank Park, believe it or not, back in 1941. No.
That would have been what, Connie Mack back then, I guess? Was it still Connie Mack back then?
It probably was Connie Mack. Yeah, maybe so. Maybe huh. 1941. I don't know. I don't know the ballpark history that well. But guess, you know what? Take a guess. How many stolen bases do you think it took to lead the National League in 1941? I'll save you the trouble. 18 was his
That's
number.
It?
18. That's
wow.
it. Yep.
That's
and he
so
only played
cool.
part of the season. He got called up midway through the season.
Very cool. I'm telling you, that's a good story, Tim. I like that. I had no idea. You're part of baseball royalty right there. Look at that. Well, and how did he do when he was manager for the Pirates?
How did he do? He won the World Series twice. 1960 and 1971. His number is retired by the Pirates, number 40. And he's been on the ballot for the Hall of Fame a couple times in the veterans committees, but he's not quite gotten the requisite number of votes that he needs. But maybe one day, maybe one day. He's a Chester boy, born and raised, Chester High School.
Not too shabby. Two World Series. That's pretty impressive.
Yep.
Wow. So, all right. Good stuff.
Up, but yes, I'm sorry about the Phillies. The Phillies are my auxiliary team. I grew up in Delaware County, and I'm sorry to. They had such a great run, and it's a tough way to bow out.
Yeah, it was a short Red October for us. It really was. But well, let's make it up with a Red November. How about that?
How about that? Yeah. How about that? I'll take that.
All right, we'll do that. Let's talk about the campaign. Where you see things right now as they stand for this race in Pennsylvania? Everybody keeps saying the polls are tied. I don't believe that. I think Trump's probably ahead given the trajectory, given the results from 2020, 2016. But obviously we need everybody to get out there and vote. But how's the race looking from your perspective?
Oh, 100% we need everybody to get out there and vote. And from our perspective, I will tell you that if the election were today, Donald Trump would be the 47th president of the United States. We just released a memo today with some numbers from inside our own polls. And of the seven battleground states, and I'm talking about, of course, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, and North Carolina, the same seven that everyone agrees will decide who the next president is. And then, of course, Pennsylvania being really the crown jewel of all of the battleground states. Our internal polling, and again, we spend a lot of money on polling, and we don't want to be lied to. We want to know what the real deal is. So our own polling is really the only polling that we ever really believe. It shows Donald Trump with a lead in all seven of those battleground states, going from a 1-point lead up to a 5-point lead. And in Pennsylvania right now, our numbers that we did release today shows Donald Trump with a 1-point lead in Pennsylvania.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's great news. Excellent, excellent. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised in the least. I think the campaign is running a terrific job, a great job with the campaign. And you guys are on message. Kamala Harris is not on message. That's very, very obvious. I mean, even have James Carville coming out there and saying she needs to do more interviews, substantive interviews, and do press conferences. And people still don't know who she is. And when people find out about her, they don't want to support her. So I think it's going to be bad for them. I see Trump doing incredibly well on Election Day if everybody gets out there and votes.
Yeah, and that's true. And, you know, the Pennsylvania electorate, but the way, because in Pennsylvania, you do register by political party, and the Democrats always have the edge. But their advantage over registered voters is about 450,000 voters fewer than it was in 2020. And regardless of that, at election time, the Pennsylvania voters vote about 4 points to the right of what the actual breakdown of the voter registration is. So we feel really good because the electorate in Pennsylvania is much more Republican than it was in 2020. And in 2020, it was only about a point and a half difference. And there was a poll a month out, which is where we are now. Back in 2020, there was a poll a month out that showed Joe Biden with a 13-point lead in Pennsylvania in October of 2020. And now it's October of 2024, and our polling shows Donald Trump with the one with a slight lead. And so we're very encouraged by all of that. And you talk about Kamala Harris. Every time I think she should do more interviews, because every time she goes out and does one, she gives us a giant nugget of gold. Like when she was on The View the other day and they asked her, what would you do differently from Joe Biden? And she said, nothing comes to mind. And yeah. I was there during all the decisions. Can you imagine what a gift to this campaign? Oh my gosh, Rich.
Well, that's the thing, Tim Murtaugh. I don't understand what their message is. Is she the change candidate or not? I can't figure this out.
Yeah, that's exactly it. How on earth can you call yourself the change candidate if you say, yes, I will do exactly everything the same way that we've been doing it during the Biden administration, and I have been there every step of the way. I wouldn't change a thing. But trust me, I'm a different way forward. None of that matches up. You know, and it's the central message of her campaign, Rich. This is what we've been trying to tell people. She was a god-awful candidate in 2019 because she came on the scene with a little bit of buzz and everybody thought, ooh, here's a candidate who can make some noise. And as soon as everybody got a load of her act, they thought, yeah, that's no good. And she was out of the race before it even turned to 2020. She quit in December of 2019, way before the Iowa caucuses. And so now she comes out. They forced Joe Biden off the stage, and she's jammed in and takes his place. And everybody, there's all this excitement, and it was all completely 100% fueled by the elation of the national news media to be rid of Biden and to have a Democrat that they could all get behind. But now when the country sees her, the air is coming out of that balloon, and the polling surge from Donald Trump is real. I'm telling you, it's real. It's spreading across all of the battleground states, and we are on the upswing. She is on the downswing. This is Donald Trump's race to lose, without question. Pennsylvania is leading the way.
I agree with you. Tim Murtaugh is with me. He's the author of the book Swing Hard in Case You Hit It, My Escape from Addiction and Shot at Redemption on the Trump Campaign. He's also a columnist for The Washington Times and a senior advisor to the Trump 2024 campaign. Follow him on X at Tim Murtaugh. You know what else I want to get your thoughts on? Do you think there's an enthusiasm problem among Democrats with this candidate? Because if you look at the registration numbers and also the requests for mail-in ballots, and we don't know how much of that is driven by the fact that, you know, there's not a pandemic right now. But I got to feel like if I'm a Democrat and this candidate was shoved on me and I had no say in the matter whatsoever, the elites picked this person, and I don't think she's very good, by the way, and I don't think this is a good ticket. I'm angry. I'm not exactly, running over hot coals here to cast my vote.
No, and I think you're seeing a lot of that. You're seeing a lot of Democrats and Democrat candidates for different offices, for Senate offices, what I'm thinking of, in Michigan and in Wisconsin and other places, where they're sounding the alarm. Democrats are actually releasing their internal polls showing Kamala Harris trailing in their polls in Michigan and Wisconsin, places like that, because they're trying to sound the alarm. There is no excitement for Kamala Harris. All this business about a brat summer and she was selling joy at the beginning, all of that was empty. It was nothing but a sugar high. Just look at what the unions are doing, Rick.
Yeah.
The Teamsters Union declined to endorse her, and they went so far as to release their internal polling of their membership to show that in Pennsylvania, about 2-1, the Teamsters membership support Donald Trump. Well, no wonder the national organization didn't endorse. And it's happening again. The Firefighters Union declined to endorse her. These are dependable Democratic organizations come election time. And the rank and file is so much behind Donald Trump that the union leadership was forced to say, you know what? We can't. Maybe endorsing Trump is a bridge too far for the executive boards of these unions, but staying out of it is just as good, because it's an obvious snub to Kamala Harris. No one is excited. If the Teamsters aren't behind the Democratic candidate for president, you know there is an enormous problem. Enthusiasm is the least of her concerns.
Yeah, and what they're trying to do again, because they know they're losing the auto workers because of all these stupid EV mandates. And so Biden just announced a short time ago he's going to allow people to deduct auto loan interest on their taxes. I mean, that's a sign of desperation right there. But I can't figure out if Biden wants her to win or not. I think he doesn't. I think Trump's right. I think he hates her. I think he feels like he was shivved. I think the person who was most surprised when Joe Biden dropped out of the race was Joe Biden. And I think he is enjoying the fact that she's going to lose. He wants to be able to tell everybody he's the only one that could have done it. And it just seems like this president is now trying to steal the spotlight from her. It's really remarkable. And he defended DeSantis the other day. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
No, and that's really funny the way you described it. He totally did get shivved in the prison yard. That's exactly what happened to him. They snuck up behind him and slipped it right between his ribs. He never even saw it coming. But I mean, you're exactly right. He tries to upstage her every turn. The other day when she was on The View saying that nonsense about there's no difference between, she was actually out there saying something that Biden would want to hear, right? Hey, there's no difference between me and Biden is what she was saying. That's a live television show at 11 a.m. when she was and the White House knows what time The View is on, because I'm sure they watch it religiously. It's like one of the small pockets of the Joe Biden fan club that you can find anywhere. So, of course, they know what time it comes on. And while she was on there doing her thing live on The View, Biden comes out and starts taking questions from the press. And all of the cable networks took him live and took it away, took the focus off of her. And then you're right, he stuck up for DeSantis, because she's saying, hey, DeSantis, I tried to call DeSantis and he wouldn't take my phone call and blah. And somebody asked Biden about it. Should he have talked to Harris? And he goes, look, I don't know what to tell you. I've been talking to him. He's been great. So It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I think, you know, you're onto something. Maybe he wants her to lose. I don't know. He sure is acting like it.
I think he does. I think he wants to go to the beach and build sandcastles and tell people he was the only one that could beat Donald Trump. And they should, because he's such a stubborn SOB, you know. I mean, the whole idea of Biden being this kind old man, you know, is a bunch of BS. Everybody who knows him knows what an SOB he is. So I think that's what he wants to be his legacy. Because, I mean, don't forget the other time, too. She's about to get to a rally in Detroit. She starts, and 2 minutes later, he walks out into the White House press briefing room and starts taking questions.
Right.
I mean, don't forget about that, too. I was amazing. And then he goes, she's just like me in every way. We've been a team. Every bad policy you hate, that's on her too. I mean, you like, what's happening here?
Oh, it's just the greatest. And I mean, you're exactly right. I think that's what it is. He wants to show people only I could have gotten it done. I wouldn't have been in the, of course, that there's no sense in that either because Trump was killing him too.
Right. Of course.
And, you know, and the numbers were far worse for Biden, but, you know, she's complicit. She's wrapped up in the whole thing. There's no way she can get around him. And that soundbite that she gave us on The View that day, where she said, nothing comes to mind. I've been right there with him the whole way. All these decisions. I mean, we're already playing the clips at Trump rallies. Trump comes out and they got the clip up on the big screen for the crowd to see. And, we never really talk about what our strategic plans are going to be with television ads and such, but I would not be surprised, Rich, if you saw that clip in a television ad on a screen near you one day pretty soon, because we only got, 26 days left before Election Day.
I think we just got a very valuable piece of inside information from our buddy Tim Murtaugh. Tim, it's always a pleasure having you on the show, man. Keep up the great work. Keep up the fight. You're a brilliant guy, and I'm glad that you were on Team Trump. Follow him on X at Team Murtaugh. Columnist of Washington Times, senior advisor of the Trump 2024 campaign, and author of the book Swing Hard in Case You Hit It, and a descendant of baseball royalty. Who knew? Thanks, Tim. I appreciate your time today, buddy.
Thank you very much. I'd also put in there class of 1987 Ridley High School and also Temple University. That's my local bona fides.
Well, every time you come on the show, we'll just add one more thing, like, you know, where your favorite cheesesteak is, where you get, you know, we'll just keep adding to the list.
Gyms at 4th and South. That's what
I love. Pretty good one. That's a good one. Yeah. I don't know if I agree, but it's a good one. It's definitely in the top five.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Rich.
All right, Tim. See ya.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, as we continue along the show here today, we got a lot to get to, and it's always fun knowing that we're going to be live in Cape May tomorrow. I always love that. It makes me happy. The day before the big trip to Cape May, and I'll be getting there tomorrow in the Volvo, the XC90, because that's the family car, although actually, well, no, I won't. I'm trying to think if the kids are coming. I got to work that out with Bridget, but either way, we are a Volvo family, and you should be too, because they have an amazing offer right now. 2025 XC40 for only $435 a month on a 36-month lease. Isn't that amazing? Or a 2024 C40 for only $329 a month on a 36-month lease. And you can get 3.99% financing on select new Volvos for 72 months. Just head to the store for all the details. Judith would love to see you. The entire Cherry Hill Volvo team looks forward to meeting you. There's a reason why Cherry Hill Volvo has customers for life, and it's because they take great care of you. They treat you with respect and courtesy, and because they always try to find you the absolute best price on a Volvo. That's why you should go see them today. That's an amazing offer on a great car. The XC40 is a phenomenal car. I drove it for 6 months or so. Plenty of cargo room, lots of space. Get you and your family there nice and safe. But if you want to go 7-passenger, the XC90, beautiful way to go with that third row. You will be there and style. Forget the minivan. You want to go XC90. So do it today. Go see my friends on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, Cherry Hill Volvo. And remember, they are a studio sponsor. We take great pride in the fact that Cherry Hill Volvo is our studio sponsor. It means a lot to us, and that's because they know relationships matter. So give back to them, please, with your support of that amazing dealership that is the studio sponsor for all of the wonderful shows you hear every day on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Yeah, the question on the YouTube chat is, who's going to Cape May? I hope everyone's going to Cape May. I would like to see everybody going. We got to get these YouTube numbers up, too. So tell your friends to start streaming the show. All right. YouTube.com/1210WPHD. I know we haven't been doing it religiously, but we are now. Every day. Every day. In fact, we're going to try something fun. Let's try playing a clip on the YouTube stream, shall we? Like they do on the morning show. On the segment known as What's on the Cut Sheet. I'm just going to let it go. DeSantis, don't bait me into saying something about that. I don't want to do it. Yeah, I don't want to do it. You know what I mean? It's fine.
I don't even think you're allowed to mention it on our show.
I don't even think I'm allowed to say the words "what's on the cut sheet" anymore. Like, I don't even think I'm allowed to say to you, "Hey, DeSantis, what's on my cut sheet?" I don't even think I can say those words. I think I get a week suspension.
Justin's going to have to dump that entire sentence.
That whole sentence. I don't even think I could say cut. Like, if I were to say what's on the cut, I think at that moment the dump button has to be hit. I think it's written in the Odyssey handbook, I believe.
Can we just call it, like, what's happening on the clip paper or something?
What's written down on my show sheet? Kind of rhymes with cut sheet. What audio do I have on my show sheet, which I'm holding here in my formerly pangolin-stained fingers? You know, like that. Could do that, something like that. Well, let's try something fun. Let's try playing a clip on the YouTube stream. Let's start with cut number four. This is Governor Ron DeSantis nuking Kamala. And it's great because, you know, she tried to take shots at him. Joe Biden came and defended him, which was amazing. Just like I talked about with Murtaugh, it's like you can't make this stuff up. All right, cut four. Let's see how we do this.
Dealing with these storms in Florida under both Trump and Biden, neither of them ever...
Only there's an echo, though. I hear a lot of DeSantis. DeSantis has an echo, so we gotta figure that out. Which we tried. I didn't see any video either. I heard audio, didn't see video. And I heard an echo.
Yeah.
Oh, there's DeSantis. Okay. I'm watching on a stream. There's DeSantis. All right. Can we try it again without the echo?
She has no role in this process.
I've been dealing with these storms.
All right. Let's figure out what the issue is. They do this on the morning show. I'm sure it's probably an easy fix. Probably like just hitting the mute button or something on someone's end. I don't know who's playing the audio. DeSantis, are you playing it or is Kirk playing it?
Kirk's playing it.
Kirk is playing it.
Oh, they said there's no echo on YouTube. Oh, interesting.
Oh, is there not?
But we're all hearing an echo over the air.
Huh.
I hear an echo for sure.
Yeah, I hear.
Yeah, so, too. Right. So we don't want to, we want to try to find a way that nobody hears an echo. Not just the people on YouTube, but no one.
That'd be ideal, yeah.
You know, pangolin stained fingertips.
I'll try and run back to Studio H when we go to break and see if we can try and sort something out so we figure out what the issue is.
All right. Thank you, Justin. That would be very helpful. Real Music NJ wants to know, pangolin stained is no copyright infringement to Russia's estate. No, it's an homage, as we would say. It's an homage to the great Rush Limbaugh. All right. Well, since we can't play that one, let me play this one. This backs up, and this is not a video one. This is just audio for the moment. Mark Halperin. This backs up what I talked about with Murtaugh about the polling numbers. These campaigns spend a lot of money on internal polls. Internal polls are known to be more accurate than the polls that are out there because, that's like what Tim said, you know, we're paying pollsters big money for this stuff. They better get it right. They better get it right because it's driving the direction of the message. It's driving the direction of the campaign. Every operation, they better get it right. I mean, if they know they're getting hammered in a state, they may abandon that state. If they know they're going to, you know, crush it in a state, they're going to put resources somewhere else. It drives everything. Internal polling is incredibly important to a campaign's operation. Mark Halperin says that the Democrats are really panicked and the Trump people are incredibly bullish on Trump's chances. And he's got sources on both sides, and I think he probably knows what he's talking about. A little creepy, you know, in the office place. There was that whole incident. But anyway, cut number one.
For you Harris people on here complaining that we're talking about problems in the Harris campaign, you're welcome to put your head in the sand about it. If you want to go watch MSNBC primetime and hear how great things are going for the Harris campaign, you're welcome to do that. But if you want to understand what's actually happening, we're here to tell you. I just saw some new private polling today that's very robust private polling. She's in a lot of trouble. Here's how I framed it this morning in my newsletter. the conversation I'm having with Trump people and Democrats with data are extremely bullish on Trump's chances in the last 48 hours. Extremely bullish. You think of the seven battleground states. Which ones is Harris in danger of losing? I would say Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, North Carolina, and Georgia. I'm not saying she'll lose all six, but she's in danger. The only one that the Democrats say she's not in danger of losing is the one I never say the name of because I can't pronounce it. But it's where Las Vegas is, right? You guys agree with me. She could lose any of those six, right? I mean, she could lose all seven. But Democrats will tell you they're worried about those six. They're less worried about the seventh. Yeah. I don't know any Trump person who says they're worried about losing any of the seven. They don't know that they don't necessarily think they're the favorite in Michigan and Wisconsin, but they're not worried about losing them.
Right.
There's not, you don't hear from them, oh my goodness. What you hear is we're moving up. What the three of us are hearing, we're moving up in those two. We're gonna win at the three Sunbelt states, and we're stronger in Pennsylvania than she is. That to me, if the whole thing's about the Electoral College, you take any of the Rust Belt states away from her, it's very difficult for her to win. Very difficult. It's not mathematically impossible. But it probably won't happen if she loses any of them. So now, she can replace Pennsylvania with either Georgia, North Carolina, and then one other of the Sunbelt states.
Nevada. Yep.
Well, any of them. If she wins, if she loses Pennsylvania, and she wins either Georgia or North Carolina, then she just needs one of the other three, and that's not impossible. But what I'm telling you today is things are not moving right for her.
No, things are not moving right for her. And, you know, the thing about Nevada, which she didn't mention, but I think I share the same kind of idea. I'm not worried about Nevada. Trump doesn't need to win Nevada. They have a ballot, a referendum on abortion. But don't forget the Restaurant Workers Union. They love the idea of the no tax on tips. But she stole that idea, too. So even if you just take Nevada out of it, he's still going to crush it pretty handily. These internal polls, her campaign is in a death spiral at this point. It's bad. Now, listen, I'm not trying to get ahead of myself, and you know how I think about things. In politics, there's only two ways to run, scared or unopposed. And I certainly do not want to sound confident because people still have to vote. Because if you don't vote, it's for naught. But the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I'm wondering what their campaign is going to do to pivot, because they have to, or they're going to get a shellacking here. And maybe they don't even have time to pivot. That's the question. We'll tackle that in our 4 o'clock hour. Straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.